Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. So if you guys are anything like me and you struggle with allergies, raise your hand because I am right there with you. I get super itchy throat, itchy ears, and I sneeze like a crazy woman. And it really does prevent me from wanting to take my daily walks with my husband. But luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It is designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and an itchy nose and sinus congestion and pressure with an ease, which is exactly what I need. So I have been using them anytime that I have allergies, which has been many, many times. I have found that it has definitely helped me so much where I can go outside again and enjoy my day. So if you guys are ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it is time to live Claritin Clear. It is fast and powerful relief. It's just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Looking at your parents' marriage and saying, what do I want from that and what do I not want from that?
Oh, purity. We need a
dun dun dun. Any thoughts on that? I'm like, so back to you.
She's like, after I just preached, dropped the mic, walked away, any thoughts you want to add?
Anything? Okay, Mad Dog Pruitt.
Trout.
Mad Dog Trout.
That just doesn't flow as well.
I'm not used to that still.
Yeah. You know, honestly, even the other day, Grant was like, Maddie Pruitt Trout. I was like, I'm your wife.
Even your own husband.
My own husband.
Is like, wait, Mad Dog.
Mad Dog.
Welcome back to the pod.
Happy and healthy.
Dude, is this episode 4 with you?
I think so. I think we filmed 2 when we were living together and then 1 since I've been married. And
this,
so
this is the 4th.
I know. And you've done so much with the place.
I really have.
It's so different than when we used to film in the other room.
Girl, it needed to be different.
It did, but I was always there. I was there at the beginning, the humble beginning. Not really.
When we had lawn furniture as our couches in the beginning.
Well, no, we first moved into this house. I had an inflatable, what is it called? An inflatable bed?
Yeah, we both had inflatable beds.
And then lawn chairs out in the living room.
Yeah, a lot has changed, which has been great.
Now we both wives.
Now we're both wives, which is crazy. We are filming in Maddie's old room. So there's some perks of you getting married because now I have a podcast room.
She's like, thanks, now bye.
Thank you, Grant, for taking her off my hands. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, it feels good to be back though.
It does. She just walked in the house today. She's like, what's up?
No, literally. She's like, you didn't even want to knock. I'm like, no, this is my house.
This is my house too.
This is my house too.
But that's the way I expect it. I expect it to be, if you're best friends with somebody, you should be able just to walk in their house.
Yeah, absolutely. I gave her like a warning knock as I'm walking in.
Yeah, knock like, hello.
I'm like, hope you're not
naked. Even if I were, nothing she hasn't seen.
Yeah, I'm like, it's fine.
The Bachelorettes, we've seen everything.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Anyways.
We saw a little too much. Well.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, you guys, if you don't know who this is, I'm really surprised. This is Maddie Trout now. Trizzy Trout. Is that what you guys call you now?
That's what
I don't know. Trizzy Trout. Maddie, what have you been up to? What has the last 6 months looked like?
Listen, it's been crazy. Launched a podcast.
Yes, you did.
And I did ask Janine probably a million questions.
She did.
You were like made for this. So Janine knows everything about technology and social media. Your girl Maddie does not. And so I'm like asking every single question. I'm like, wait, so how do I turn the camera on?
Where does this cable go?
What do I do with this? How do I get the lights set up? And she's like, just YouTube. No, but you were so helpful and honestly gave me the confidence to like start the podcast. So the podcast is out. Let's go. And that's kind of been the biggest thing I've been working on, honestly. Being a wife, living in Waco, Texas, launch a podcast. Mm-hmm. And
you had a book come out in September.
Book come out. Yep. The Love Everybody Wants in September. And yeah, it's been out for like 6 months now, which is
That's crazy.
I know. Time flies. Okay, and now so your book's out. And it's like,
my book is out.
I remember when I was reading the whole thing and it just was so dang good. I'm like, the whole world needs to read this.
Yeah, well, you guys, Maddie was my foreword, which was so cool. It was such an honor having like my best friend. I know, right? What's like, the thing where you like, how do you like do it? You like have the heart or something? And people are emo or something. I don't know. It was stupid. It was so cool though, like having you know me. You literally watched me go through a lot of this.
Yeah.
And then having someone like know me and write the foreword was just really cool.
Yeah. So. I mean, I feel like I truly watched you become happy and healthy. And not that you weren't before I met you, but I just watched you get healthier. Like as we were just so friends, we made each other healthier, like truly pointing each other closer to Jesus. And I watched you walk out like different dating relationships and figuring out career stuff and walking through friendship stuff. Like we both body watched image. Each other go through all that. And so really cool to see it come to life.
I know.
And you like share some vulnerable stuff in there. I'm really proud of you.
Y'all, I get a little too honest. It's like scary. It's like scary.
You're
like,
a very honest person. Like no. you, I remember when we first started hanging out, I'm like this girl. And honestly, Grant is like this too.
Yeah.
And it's inspiring to me because I'm like, wait, you actually just say out loud what you feel.
I do.
And I'm but like.
To a fault sometimes.
Maybe to a fault. You have said a couple things that I'm like, Janine. I said that in confidence and, but no, but you are, but it's so, I love it. It's just like, you just, you have nothing to hide. You're like, this is what I feel.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I talk about this in my book where like, the more you say something, the less power it has over you. Mm-hmm. And so like, I don't want anything having a power over me. I don't want anything like gripping me. I don't want this. I don't want Satan to have any foothold in my life. And so obviously you use discernment on that, but I mean, it's so scary. Like I write a story and I put it in my book and I was like, oh, people are actually like reading this.
Yeah.
Like this wasn't just me on my computer. Like people are reading this.
Because when you're writing, it feels like therapy. It feels like your journal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, people are going to be like taking this in, highlighting it. Like, yeah, that's
so crazy. Oh my gosh. Wait, tell everybody what your podcast is about.
Stay true. Honestly, like my heart behind it, I went back and forth with the name for so long. I mean, I remember I was texting you and I was like, I have no idea what to call this thing. Like all I know, which it's funny now that the name is what it is, I'm like, it makes so much sense of why I went with that. And I'm like, why didn't I think of that sooner? Because, and you can testify to this, I am someone who will speak the truth.
Oh, we know. Which is good.
And it's not always what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. And so my heart was like, I want to be the friend, the big sister, whatever dynamic that is, that just speaks the truth in love and that isn't afraid to say the hard things. But also like, we have fun. Like I wanted the environment to be like, hey, Jordans, you know, sweats, you know, grab a coffee, grab a snack, get on the couch, let's hang out. And so I really tried to set it up that way. But it's, yeah, it's storytelling, it's truth telling. And it's all about like, what is the truth and how do you stay true to it? And so I try to do that through sharing different stories and we talk about all kinds of different things. I'm only like, you know, a few in. So it's crazy how much I feel like I've learned even this far. And I'm like, it's no joke. Like podcasting is like
not
people think you literally just turn the camera on, sit down, and then the podcast is out. And I'm like, man, I've learned so much because for the last 3 years, I've been on so many podcasts, including this one. And I just didn't realize the amount of work and thoughtfulness that has to go into it as you're preparing for episodes, as you're like, as they're being edited, as you know, clips are created. Social media, like just all the things around it. And so I've learned a ton through the process, but it's been so much fun. I love it.
Yeah, it's so much fun, you guys. But yes, absolutely. So much work. I think more than anybody knows. I mean, you really, I think in the beginning, you would just sit down and film, and podcast world has changed so much. It's kind of crazy. Also, just to let you guys know, we are doing a podcast swap, which is so crazy to say.
We love, because I've watched you do this with other people, and I'm like, I can't wait till I have my podcast.
Prayed for this.
We have prayed for this.
So we did an episode all about friendship on Maddie's podcast. And then for my podcast, we're super excited. We're talking about how to prepare to be a godly wife. Mm. I get asked this so much. And I mean, you do too.
Yeah.
And we get it because obviously we walked through singleness together. When we moved to Dallas, we were single. We both went through relationships that ended.
Breakups.
Bye-bye.
And then bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And then marriage. And so we've been through the seasons together, which is so crazy. And so we watched each other prepare for marriage. And I'm not saying we did it perfectly because how can you do it perfectly? I mean, a lot of the times I feel like you get in marriage and then you're like, oh, okay, I should have prepared for that when I was single. And so for the single ladies, or maybe you're dating, maybe you're engaged, we're going to be giving you guys our best advice on how to prepare for marriage. We are not experts, though. Just letting you know. I'm 5 months in. You are a year and a half.
Over a year and a half. Yeah, which is
That's
wild.
Crazy.
I know. Literally insane. I keep thinking we're like on closer timelines.
I know.
It feels I texted Janine the other day and I was like, can we plan our babies? Can we plan to have babies at the same time? She's like, I'm not there.
I've been married for 5 months. Relax.
Which is, you know, that's fair. But yeah, no, a year and a half.
Crazy.
Which is crazy. And we're still learning. And I think a lot of what we'll even share today is like, hey, listen to our failures and what we did not do well in, you know, singleness, dating and marriage, because a lot of the times that's how you learn the biggest like lessons. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah. So you guys, we just want to preface, like I said, we're not experts, but we are here to share wisdom of also just like what the Bible says and things that we've seen in other marriages that have benefited us as well. And I hope that you guys can learn from our vulnerability. So what I do want to be transparent about as well is sometimes it's scary sharing this, because on the outside looking in, if we share failures or we share mistakes, people can easily take that and run with that and be like, oh my gosh, their marriage is so toxic. That marriage is going to fail. We're here to tell you, because now we're on the other side of marriage. It is so easy from a single person or a dating person to point fingers at a marriage and be like, that is so unhealthy. That is so toxic. Wait till you get in it. And then you realize that everyone is struggling.
Yeah.
Everyone's going through this. And so when you get married and you start talking with your married friends, you're like, oh my God, I'm not crazy.
I'm not alone. I'm not alone in this.
Yeah. So we just want to help you guys realize like marriage can be hard, can be, but it also can be seriously the best thing of your life.
Yeah. You got some lipstick on your teeth.
Oh, thank you. That's a good friend.
Find you a friend that'll tell you you got some lipstick. I was waiting for you to take a breath.
Yeah, I was like,
you.
She's staring at me a little too closely.
I'm like staring at your mouth. I'm like, sorry, it's just
I'm like, do you want to kiss me?
You have lipstick on your teeth, but it was only on the side, so I don't think
I thought you were
going
to say it was a booger. Did I get it or no?
You don't have a booger, just a little bit of lipstick on the side of your...
No?
You're good, yeah.
Okay, great.
You're perfect.
Okay, Maddie, kick us off. What is something that you did to prepare for marriage? Like, what is something now looking back, you're like, okay, that really helped me to be a wife?
I mean, truly, I would say community, friendship, which like you said, we talk about on my podcast. I truly think friendship is so important, because I think in those single years and in the dating times, like having those people that will call you out and call you higher, having those people that can see blind spots. Like I think a lot of times we're really naive, and especially when we start dating someone, like it really is like love is blind. You know what I mean? Truly. Like you see what you want to see a lot of the times. And so having people around you that can be like, oh, that's not very cute, you know, referring to you, or, hey, this is a red flag on, you know, his end that you need to look out for. But having those people that can really help you and hold you accountable, you know, as you pursue purity in the relationship, I think was truly so, so helpful. And another thing is, of course, just like your private life moments with Jesus, you know, your prayer time. And also like, I think for me, developing a healthy perspective of what marriage is was so important. And I wish I would have had an even better perspective going into marriage, because I think it's so easy, like you alluded to this, but I think it's so easy to, you know, you prepare as much as you can and you're like, yeah, I'm ready for marriage. I'm ready for marriage. And then you get married and you're like, oh, this is different than what I thought. And I think for me, I would have always said like, oh, marriage is, you know, it's bigger than us. Like it's all about God. And then at the same time, simultaneously would have had in my heart, like, oh, this marriage is going to make me feel more secure. This marriage is going to make me feel more happy. This marriage is going to make me feel, you know, better about myself. And, you know, the insecurities that I have, the body shame that I have, whatever it may be, like this is going to heal those parts of my heart or my life. No. Marriage, you know, marriage just reveals,
exposes,
and it humbles you and it exposes. I mean, it truly, and it will break you in the best way. Like we are called, like the perspective that I would encourage those listening, and that I honestly wish I could go back and even encourage myself even more, is that the heart behind marriage and the way we are called to have relationships with all people is in 1 John 3:16, it says that we are to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that is what marriage looks like, is you literally laying your life down and dying to yourself and being like, it's not about me. It's about we, and it's about God. And that was hard for me. I'm not going to lie, because I was the girl, and you know this, the girl in singleness that was like, or in dating, that was like, he's got to work for me. Like, he's got to pursue me. And then you get married. I mean, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I have to serve him. Like, I got to lay my life down for him. I have to submit to him. I have to trust his leadership. And I think that was a really big adjustment for me. And so I do think having a healthy and holy perspective of marriage is so important. And to know that the purpose of marriage is to make you holy and to make you look more like Jesus. And I think when that is your purpose and your goal, when you go into marriage, then what you will see is that as you make each other holier, you will naturally make each other happier. Like, amen. When you're pursuing that holiness naturally, like when you're walking out God's will and God's, you know, what God's word says, like you will experience the joy of the Lord, because we're serving not with an expectation of like, what are you going to give me, but just serving because God calls us to serve. And it naturally, like, because of the way God designed it, will bring you joy. But I went into it a little selfish.
Oh, Sam, I mean, who doesn't? I think that's exactly right. I think you have to get a right perspective of what is marriage about and learning to serve before marriage. Mm-hmm. So like one of my biggest tips is I always tell people, live with people before you get married. Have roommates, handle conflict, handle chores, handle all the types of conversations that you're going to have when you're living with somebody, because you're not magically just going to get married and everything's going to work out and all the tools are in the belt for marriage. Like, you prepare for marriage in singleness with roommates, with friendships. And so I think living with you truly prepared me for marriage, and it's preparing for those hard conversations and conflict and, you know, who cleans what and who does what, because it's so true. Like, those are things that you don't think are going to bother you in marriage. And then you get married and you're like, oh, he left his dish on the freaking coffee table. And then you're like, am I going to yell at him, or am I going to pick it up for him and do it for him?
Yeah.
Or am I going to say, hey babe, do you mind picking up your dish? Like, there's so many different ways you can use your mouth to uplift and bring life to your spouse, or to just destroy them. And so truly, singleness, dating, all these like seasons before marriage are preparation for marriage. And so I love that you said that. And just like serving, like, serving is so, so important. Getting in the habit of serving. I realized even last week that I was like, I have not served my spouse in a very long time. And so you have to be intentional of thinking about going out of your way to serve people. And the problem is, we're not all naturally servant-hearted people. Maybe you are. Maybe you're an Enneagram too. I don't know. God bless you. I realize I'm naturally selfish. We're all innately selfish people. So you have to think, how can I go out of my way to serve somebody? And so if that's not your spouse right now, maybe you're not married, serving your friend, serving your parents, serving a coworker. I think those are all habits that you can put in the tool belt. So when you get to marriage, it's going to bless your spouse.
Yeah. Proverbs 18:22 talks about he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And I heard it once said by someone, like, there's a reason it says he who finds a wife and not he who finds a girlfriend. He who finds, you know, someone to...
A situation.
Like, right, a situation. Call him out then,
no,
Jay.
We're not doing that.
No, and but we have been there.
Mm-hmm.
We
have exposed.
Anyways.
We won't name names.
It says he who finds a wife. And I love that it says that, because I agree with what you were just saying, is... these seasons of singleness and dating are so important. It's not a season of lack. It is a season of preparation. And how you steward these seasons are important. And who you're becoming right now. Like, you train before you ever say I do. You are preparing before you ever, you know, say yes when he gets down on one knee to be a wife. Mm-hmm. And so, like, your everyday moments with the Lord, how you serve and treat people, the friendships and relationships, the habits. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're huge on habits, like creating healthy habits, sustainable habits. That's so important in your seasons of singleness and dating, so that when you do say I do, like, this crazy light switch doesn't just flip when you say I do. And I truly think, like, I think I even thought that. I was like, I'm gonna get up there and say I do, and all of a sudden your girl's ready to be a wife. All of a sudden your girl is Martha Stewart in the kitchen. All of a sudden, like, I know how to
Betty Crocker.
Yeah, like, I know how to do all the things. I know how to manage a home. I know how to... No, you know, you have to learn those things. And I think you can prepare for them before you're even in that season. But I do, I think it's so important that you realize like the habits you're building right now are so crucial. Like if you are stuck in habitual sin right now and you don't mm-hmm. learn how to break that, but you just think all of a sudden I get married and it's going to fix that. You know, like I truly see that happen with people that have even been in my life or people that I've, you know, helped encourage yeah. or that I've, you know, shared the gospel with is like they truly thought that their cure to breaking the addiction to pornography was to get married. Facts. And I'm like, no, actually what you're doing is you're carrying this addiction and this baggage into your marriage. And now it's not only hurting you and your relationship with God, it's now hurting another person yep. that you're responsible to love and care for. And so it's so important that you pay attention to the habits that you're creating and creating healthy and holy habits in dating and singleness.
Yeah, it's so true, you guys. The good habits and the bad habits will come out in marriage. And it's so true. Like, I don't know, you know how like we grew up in the church, we heard so many marriage sermons and all the phrases. I mean, I heard so many things like marriage exposes, marriage amplifies all your problems if you haven't had them resolved. And I just kind of thought like, no, like that's for them. And then you get into it and you're like, holy crap. I am like worse than I thought I was. Yeah. Like I'm a horrible human being.
Oh yeah. I like journaled one time. I was like, I am the Hulk. Yeah. I'm like, I'm gonna pray that yeah. this Hulk just dies down.
But I mean, it's so real, you guys. Like we're saying this because like I didn't hear anyone talk about this. I didn't hear anyone tell me that marriage would expose as much as it did or really bring out these really ugly sides in you that you're like, whoa, like where was that? And it's kind of sad. Like the person you love the most sometimes gets the ugliest side of you. Yeah. Like with Maddie, like she hasn't seen sides of me that Caleb has seen because like your most authentic, raw, real side with your partner. And so I also say this to say, give yourself grace because like in your first year of marriage, like some things are gonna come out. You want to deal with them as much as possible before the marriage, like get in counseling, get in community, be so blatantly honest and vulnerable with your community of what you're struggling with, the lies you're believing. Like, please do yourself a favor now and don't bring that into marriage as best as possible because I'm telling you, y'all, the Bible talks about what's done in the darkness will be brought into the light. Mm-hmm. It's going to get exposed.
Yeah.
So you might as well expose it now while you're single or in dating or whatever so you can heal from it. And that way it's not this huge burden that you're stuck with when you're married and in a covenant.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that? I'm like, so back to you.
She's like, after I just preached, dropped the mic, walked away, any thoughts you want to add?
Anything?
No, that was so good and so true.
If you guys are trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, but you're feeling really overwhelmed, I totally understand. And finding a truly unique gift that they'll love can be very challenging and frustrating. And that is why I'm super excited that I've discovered Songfinch. It is amazing and it's thoughtful and it's super easy and fun to make. So Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. And it's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I'm going to literally play a song for you guys and show you the one that they made for Caleb. It was literally the cutest thing. They mentioned pickleball in there. They even mentioned his name. So I'm going to play a little bit for you guys.
Yours is all I ever want to be. I taste forever every single time we kiss. And Caleb, that's how I know only God above could write a love like this.
Isn't that so fun? I loved it. So, and Caleb loved it too. So whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. Also, for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free. So you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. It is so, so cool. So go to songfinch.com/Janine, start your song, and after you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/Janine. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/Janine, and I really think your loved ones are going to love this.
Listen, guys, Janine and I have been married for 6 months, and the reason why it is a beautiful marriage, it's because of Thrive Market. Thrive Market, thank you so much for sponsoring this episode. We genuinely love you so much. Because of Thrive Market, we're able to save so much time through ordering all our grocery and household essentials through the app or website. Guys, it's just a huge stress relief. And you guys also know I have gut issues, like really, really, really bad. So finding, you know, food with top quality ingredients is super crucial for me. And Thrive Market not only does that, but they restrict over 1,000 harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high fructose corn syrup, and a lot more. And guys, when if your parents and you need to find organic kid snack, they have low sugar alternatives and high protein essentials. Jenny and I are also training for our marathon, so it is so beneficial that we can find all of our protein options and snacks through Thrive Market. And guys, save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/healthy for 30% off your order, plus a free $60 gift. That's T-H-R-I-V-E, market.com/healthy, thrivemarket.com/healthy.
And I was reading, actually, I think it was in James the other day, as I was reading the Bible, and it talked about don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And it was so convicting because I do think that a lot of times, you know, going off of what you were just saying, like in singleness and in dating, it's like, oh, we hear these things. Oh, sure. That may or may not be me. That may or may not be my story. And, you know, we don't really take the singleness and the dating life seriously. And then we find ourselves in marriage with all of these problems, with all these issues, and all of these things have now been exposed and crap hit the fan. And we're like, I don't know what to do. I don't think I can be married anymore. And that's why we see like the divorce rate being the highest it's ever been. And it's because honestly, for a lot of times, like we do come into these relationships where we didn't date God's way, or, you know, maybe we didn't get honest with ourselves before and let some of our, you know, parts of our story and life heal the way that it needed to heal. And I think a lot of times too, we come into it from a selfish perspective, but in order to follow the word of God, like we've got to know the word of God. And so when you're in this season, if you're in the season of singleness or dating and you pray to have a godly marriage one day, one of my biggest encouragements to you would be get in the word, like know the word. And I don't just mean like read it, check it off a list, but like study it, memorize it, meditate on it. It talks about in Psalm 1, like he who like delights himself in the law of the Lord, whatever they do will prosper, because it's so important. Like in order for us to find significance and satisfaction in this, like on this side of eternity, like we got to know the word of God and then we got to obey it and follow it. And so when you find yourself in those moments where, you know, like the Hulk in me comes up and I want to lose my mind, or I want to walk out, or I want to like, you know, slap him in the face, I'm like,
that's real.
I got to remember like not only what I preach, but like what the word of God tells me to follow. And it's not just about Maddie in those moments. Like, it's not just like, how is he loving me? How is he serving me? What can I get out of this? It's like, how are we glorifying God? How are we honoring God? How is our marriage honoring God? I'm called to forgive. I'm called to hold my tongue. I'm called to not be quick to anger, but to be slow to speak. And so like, I got to know the word of God so that when those moments of temptation come, when, you know, I get pressed, when I get offended, when he hurts me or lets me down or disappoints me, I got to have the word of God written on the tablet of my heart so that in those moments, I'm responding with the grace and the truth that God's called me to, and not with reacting out of my own insecurities and emotions.
Hey. Man, okay.
Was that my mic?
You dropped the mic for sure on that one.
We're just hyping
each other. That was her mic. That's so real. That was actually my second point on my list, was you've got to know Jesus yourself. And to kind of follow up with what you were saying, you can't go into marriage expecting this person to solve all your problems, all your insecurities, and to be your God. I promise you, you are going to let them down and they are going to let you down as well. And so, you know who will never let you down is Jesus. He will never let you down. He is always there for you. And so what's so important is exactly what you're saying is preparing beforehand, knowing Jesus, knowing him intimately. I know this is not a singleness episode, but if you are single, that's why Christians and people that are married or single preach so much to spend time with the Lord and take advantage of your singleness, because this is the time to prepare. And like I said, when you get married, you don't all of a sudden have all the fruit of the spirit. Not everything just pops up. Oh my gosh, I'm so gentle. I'm so kind. I'm so patient. Like, it actually is sometimes opposite, where the enemy wants you to make your spouse your enemy, or he wants you to fight, or he wants to create division. And the fruit of the spirit are nowhere to be found. And so the best thing you can do is abide in the Lord, know his word, know who he says you are, and get super healthy as best as possible, so that when you do get into marriage, it's just easier. Like, bless your marriage, bless your future spouse by abiding in him and knowing the fruit of the spirit, creating again those tools in your belt to already have them ready to go when you are in marriage. Now, again, like I said this earlier, be gracious with yourself, because this doesn't come just like naturally. This doesn't come just like totally overnight and quickly. Like, this is a process. By abiding with Jesus, he prunes you. He cuts off branches that don't bear fruit. This takes time. You know, trees take time to grow. Fruit takes time to grow. So this is all a learning process. We're still learning. We will always be learning, you know? And that's the thing in marriage, is like, I'm only 5 months in. I've learned so much and I have so much more to learn, but it gets better and better when you and your spouse are serving Jesus together, two people running the race parallel with each other and linking arms to make each other sanctified and holy and to look more like Jesus.
Yeah, so good. I love that. And just the power of prayer too. Like, one of the biggest things that has made our marriage what it is today is I've been on my knees in my prayer closet, and it started out saying, God, change Grant, please, for the love of God, change Grant. And then it ended with God being like, no, actually, I'm gonna change you, because you got some pride in your heart and you got some things you need to work on. And that's the thing about prayer, is you go into it praying for circumstances to change, and God ends up changing you. And that is what I've seen in marriage, is prayer has been such a crucial component, not only for our togetherness, but even like in our own individual races and what God's called us to do. Is I'm on my knees praying, and then every night, like, he's praying over us. Like, I'm asking him to pray over us and over me every single night before we go to bed. And I would even say that's important in marriage and in singleness and in dating. I would actually encourage not to pray together in dating, but for you both to be praying individually on your own time, in your own quiet time, of God, like, show me, is this the spouse that you have, you know, created for me? Are we each other's God's best? Like, am I going to help push him to what you've called him to do and love him in the way that you've called me to love him? Is he going to be able to do that for me? And just praying for God to give you wisdom and peace and to direct your steps. Like, prayer has been such a crucial part of my life, and especially when it comes to my relationships. And like she was talking about, like, just like the quiet time and like knowing Jesus and having that intimate relationship with Jesus is so important before marriage, and it's so important in marriage. That does not go away. My quiet time still looks the same. Your girl is still getting up early in the morning. I'm still getting on my knees in prayer. Like you were saying, Grant does not, like, my husband does not complete me. My husband does not make me more whole. Like, thank God that now we are one, but it's still with the heart to, like, I am here to add value to you and push you closer to Jesus. And that is, like, he's not making me more whole. Only Jesus can. Like, he's not completing me. Only Jesus can. And so for me to be all that I am called and created to be, like, I gotta get that from Jesus. And so every single morning, like, I'm running to Jesus. I'm getting satisfied by him. Mm-hmm. I'm asking him to, like, hey, prune anything in me that is not of you and fill me with everything that is of you. I want to look like you. I want to reflect you to the world around me. And I'm praying those prayers. I'm praying over my spouse. I'm praying over, you know, my ability to be a good wife. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, Lord, help me be a good wife.
Yeah. Amen. You sometimes need it. And I mean, truly, I remember you encouraging me, pray that prayer, Lord, help me be a good wife. And I did one time, and it completely just softened my heart. And I was like, wow, that was the prayer that I needed. And so the next thing I want to say is community. Because, you know, just as that example right there, I texted Maddie one day being like, oh my gosh, you know, like, we got in a fight, please help me pray. And you were like, but I want to encourage you to pray yourself. Like, pray, Lord, help me be a good wife. So community is going to be super, super important in singleness, but then also in marriage. And then when you are single, or even if you're dating, engaged, what, it doesn't matter the season that you're in, get an older couple that has been married 20 plus years, 30 years, that has a type of marriage that you want. We have a couple in our life, like Jenny and Zach, and like many others, Onika and Earl, like JP and his wife. Like, there's so many amazing, godly couples that we have that we've sat down with when we were dating our now husbands, when we were single, when we were like crying and asking God all the questions, like, Jenny, he broke my heart. But I truly think if you want to have a good marriage and prepare to be a wife, have someone before you that has the type of marriage that you want, that is a good wife,
good.
That you can ask these questions to. How do you do this? What does a good marriage look like? And trust me, like, especially as newlyweds, you're learning so much. You need that older, wiser woman to go to and be like, am I wrong? Is he wrong? Like, what do I do? That is going to bless your marriage so, so much. So if you are a believer, you can find that in the church, the local church, or even just a couple. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it's your spouse's parents, your fiance's parents. But I think having a couple that you can go to speak into you, help you, pray for you is vital in this season.
Oh, so huge. Like she said, in singleness, I mean, we were part of a small group and we were constantly being poured into. In marriage, like, I'm a part of a community group. We confess daily. We pray for each other daily. We are like walking alongside each other, doing life together in marriage. And I have like my girlfriends and Grant has his guy friends. And that is so important. Yeah. One, to like not feel so alone. Two, for accountability. Like, I know, you know, like girls and guys, like, we're both like confessing at the thought level. Like, hey, I had this temptation today. I want to confess it to you. Will you hold me accountable and will you pray for me and remind me of God's truth? And that is so important. Like, we do that for each other. Days where I'm like, hey, Janine, I don't know who I am. Will you remind me of who I am? Mm-hmm. I don't feel equipped to do what God's called me to do. I don't feel equipped to be a good wife. I don't know how to love my spouse well right now. Will you pray for me? Will you remind me of God's word? And like, we do that for each other often, like, yeah, call each other, send a voice memo, send a Bible verse back. And that has been so helpful. And even like living in Waco, like I said, I have a community group that I'm doing life with. And so getting plugged into a local church, finding community and accountability, and then like she said, mentorship, which is just so important. I mean, the book of Proverbs talks all about the importance of having wise counsel around you. Mm-hmm. Like, you need wise counsel in order to be like the person that God's called you to be. And so that is, I feel like, a huge part of it.
Amen. Okay, the other thing I want to talk about, I just thought about this as you were talking, is looking at your parents' marriage and saying, what do I want from that and what do I not want from that?
Oh.
Because
we're going there.
Well, I mean, we don't have to name any names again.
We're exposing our parents.
Or any specific situation.
We love our parents.
Yeah, but I just want to be truthful. Yeah. Like, whether you know it or not, subconsciously, you will repeat your parents' marriage. The good and the bad. And so I want you to just, in your own time, like, get your journal open and say, okay, what are things I liked about my parents' marriage and what are things I do not want? And then if you are dating somebody or you're engaged, whatever, like, you'll hopefully do this in premarital. You want to be really mindful because there's things in my parents' marriage that I do not want to repeat. And then there's other things I'm like, I love that and I would love to pass that down to my kids. So I think that's important to take an audit and totally look through that. And I think it's important because if there's certain patterns that you do not want to repeat, you want to make sure that you address those and bring those to your partner.
Yeah. And especially like in that engagement season, I think having those conversation, you know, finding a pastor to go through like premarital counseling with you and ask those questions, because that was really like the first time I think Grant and I sat down and were like, hey, what are the things, you know, in your growing up experiences that you, you know, want to implement in your marriage? Mm-hmm. And what are maybe things that you didn't love as much? And so we got like really honest and vulnerable with each other. And I think like in dating, that is a really vulnerable conversation. And so I'm not saying don't have it in dating, but I do think that especially in engagement season, that is such an important conversation. Mm-hmm. To really go there and be honest, you know. And I think even in marriage, like, you're still constantly navigating, you know, family stuff. You're still navigating family boundaries. For me, like, the first year of marriage, I can't talk. I'm like, for me, for the first year of marriage, like, I was so loyal to Pruitt. Like, I was like, I'm insane. A Pruitt.
My family too.
I am a Pruitt and I am loyal to that. And mm-hmm. So like Grant had to continue to remind me, hey, Maddie, we're now family number one. And, you know, my family that I grew up in and your family that you grew up in is family number two. And we love them. They will always be our family and they will be, you know, outside of God and each other, like, our priority, but we're still family number one. And mm-hmm. that was like such a wake up call for me because I'm such a loyal person. And so like growing up, you know, with my family for 26 years, I love my family. I'm so close to my family. So that was really hard for me to like
The leave and cleave.
Yes, the leave and cleave. Yeah. And be like, okay, wow, truthfully, like cleaving, leaving, whatever it's called, behind Pruitt to become Trout. And I'm like, that was really tough for me.
Yep. It's so, y'all, that is so real. That's a whole other episode of like boundaries and like just even things after marriage that you discover. So, so real though, but it's true. Like those are things too that you want to be mindful of, like, okay, the Bible does ask you to leave and cleave and like cling to your spouse. Like this person becomes your priority. And that's really hard. And that's still something even like I'm learning. And so we talk about that all the time, but that was really good. Okay. The last thing I think I want to kind of close out on, actually, we have some more time.
Oh,
do you have more pointers?
We go for hours.
Okay. So I want to talk more about our mouths and our words, because we have talked about this where you can say some things that just cut.
Yeah.
And I want to read some Bible verses that talk about this. So for example, Proverbs 15:4 says, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." There's also, where's the one that talks about the power of life and death is in the tongue?
Oh, what is that? Proverbs 18 something? No.
Oh, even like, okay. Proverbs 31, this is even about like the wife. 31:26, "She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue." Also, Psalms 141:3, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the doors of my lips." And then there's also one, I'm trying to find it in here, but the Bible literally does say that the power of life and death is on the tongue. And I think we have also found that with your friends or with your peers, like it's easy to be really like fun and encouraging, and you don't really like say mean things to your friend. I mean, hopefully you don't. I'm like, okay, if you do, let's talk about that.
That's another.
We got to work on that one. Yeah. But it is what I was saying earlier is like you get to your spouse, you get to marriage, and all of a sudden this side of you comes out and you're like, whoa, like where was that? And you just start saying some rude things, things that you never thought you would say. And again, I know this is being very vulnerable. Like, I don't want you guys being like, oh, their marriages are toxic, but it's real. Like, you'll see when you get married, you're like, where was that inside of me?
Totally.
You know, it's like this deep well. And so just knowing that as women of God and wives, we're called to encourage our spouses, to challenge them, to inspire them, to speak life over them. I mean, they say that men need respect the most. Like this is what they say. Women need love, men need respect. And that's a Bible verse as well in Ephesians, I think. Is it Ephesians or First Peter?
It's Ephesians, Ephesians 5.
But yeah.
Yeah. It talks all about it and how crazy the cycle is. Like there's that cycle that's like, oh, when women don't feel loved, they disrespect. When men feel disrespected, they don't love.
It's so crazy. True.
Like truly seeing that within the context of marriage, but it's true. Like men, I love it because it's like men, hard exterior, soft interior.
Yeah,
like they're like, yeah. I'm not going to say big babies, but I'm a little bit of big babies. They like really long for words of affirmation.
Yep.
Like they really want to be affirmed, especially when it comes to like them as a husband, them as like
a leader, father.
Yes. And just like in their purpose and their job and what they do, they really want to be affirmed in that. And so our words, and I think even outside, this just goes for everything in life. Like our words carry so much power. Like you were alluding to earlier, the Bible talks about in Proverbs, like how our words have the power of life and death. Like either our words are literally bringing life or they are destroying and bringing death. And so if we took that literally, I think we would be a lot more careful with what we allow to come out of our mouth, and not just to have like idle words either. Like, you know, but just making your words matter and making your words encouraging and uplifting and honoring to God and, you know, loving to the other person.
And also challenging, like your spouse, you're supposed to make them better. And so you're allowed to call them higher and call them out if you see sin or if you see something in them, and vice versa. Like your spouse should be able to speak into you and be like, hey, I really think you're missing the mark there. Hey, Janine, I noticed you were gossiping. We're not going to do that anymore. That's not a cute trait. And like, I should be able to humble myself and be able to be like, you know what, Caleb, you're right. That wasn't cute. And I think that's super important of even coming to marriage with humility. And so y'all, I know we're throwing out a lot of terms here, but these are all things that you want to like try to work on, like the fruit of the spirit, humbleness, meekness, being servant hearted. I mean, these are all the things that as you read the Bible, we should strive to be just as individuals, period. Like if we look like Jesus, just strive to be like that, period. But then when you get into marriage, you want to work on it extra because you're spending every day with this person. And it's very easy to become passive or just comfortable with your spouse. And then you just kind of shift back into like, oh, we're roommates and we're not doing that. And so you want to be intentional with having the fruit of the spirit, blessing your spouse, encouraging your spouse. I mean, last week I said, I'm not naturally a super, super servant-hearted person. And so, would you say I'm different
she
ways?
She is. I feel like your thoughtfulness comes out in different. Yeah, it just depends. Same for me.
But for example, like last week, I like literally was like, how can I love Caleb this week? And so I went out and I got him a little gift basket. I made him a letter. I just tried to encourage him because I was like, I don't think I've done a good job at that. And again, those are things that you do in friendship too. And so it doesn't just magically disappear when you get married. Like you want to continue to work on these tools as you are dating and single.
Yeah. And I love that you spoke to, we're throwing out a lot of terms and this is maybe feeling overwhelming. It's like, oh, I want to do this.
How do I do this? I'm not perfect.
And I want to say on our own, according to Maddie, according to Janine, like we cannot do this. Mm-mm. It is only by the power of God's spirit and God's spirit in us and God's spirit through us that we have the ability to cultivate the fruits of the spirit, that we have the ability to love the way that God calls us to love. It is only by the spirit of God in us and being surrendered to God that we have the ability to humble ourselves, that we have the ability to choose kindness and gentleness when our sinful nature is pride and selfishness. And so to be able to walk out these things that we're talking about, to like be careful with your tongue, to serve humbly and love, to treat your spouse with respect and love, like to do these things, like before you can do, you first have to be. And in order to be, like you have to abide, and it has to be like all rooted in God's spirit and in God's word. Like this is not just like, oh, Janine and Maddie have a lot of good advice. Like I hope what you guys are picking up more than anything is like, we're going off of the word of God.
Yeah.
And this is all based off of, like she said at the very beginning, like what we've learned from other marriages that we look up to and going off of the word of God.
Yeah.
And so it is like she was talking about, I mean, one verse that I looked up, and this is actually our community group, like my girls community group, the name of our group chat is 12:4, and it stands for Proverbs 12:4. And this is a very convicting verse.
Uh-oh.
It says, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's what you needed, your little sound thing.
Wait, where is it?
Wait, how do you do it?
No.
Nope. No, not the claps.
No, is it the scary one?
Oh my gosh.
That's the one. It's scary.
We just gave them every sound effect that you have.
You guys are welcome.
But no, I think that that verse is what's so convicting is like you have the choice. Like you can choose to walk by the spirit and be your husband's crown, or you can choose to walk by the flesh and be the decay in his bones. And that is terrifying, because if it's up to Maddie, like if I'm just going off of what Maddie has to offer, like I'm going to constantly be the decay in his bones. And I think what goes into like what we're talking about with words and what's so powerful about words is like not even just like speaking negative words in the sense of like tearing down, but even just like nagging and complaining.
Yeah. And bringing like a negative energy to the house.
Yeah.
That is so, so true. It's not even, just like encouraging your spouse, but it's also when the other day I was complaining the entire freaking car ride.
It'd be like,
and I didn't even know. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm tired. I'm hungry. And I'm this. And then Caleb was like, Jay, you've literally been complaining this entire car ride. And I was like, oh, okay.
Snap.
This is embarrassing. And so it is true. Like you can bring the energy down and you can bring your spouse's energy down. And so like, I don't want to do that. And so these are, again, are just things to be aware of when you do get married. Maybe you are married, just knowing how much power our words have. We can encourage, we can uplift, or we can destroy and make our spouses feel so small. And I know that I've probably done that. I've done that where I thought I was better than him, or I thought this, or I thought that. And I'm just like, no, like we are two equal people that God has called for each other to refine each other, to uplift each other, to make each other look like Jesus. And so just knowing that our words really, really do have so much power.
Yeah. I want to hear like a funny story from you guys of like a time where you failed in that department.
I'm like, last week?
She's like, an hour ago.
No. I mean, I don't know. I think like even just yesterday, I realized that when I am stressed out,
yeah.
I am the worst human being.
Oh, to be around, same.
I am sharp. I am mean. I am short tempered. I'm just like, leave me alone. Like, I just kind of just don't want him to talk to me. And like, I was
just don't be in the room.
No. And I realized like I ended up apologizing to him because I was super stressed out yesterday. We were running late. My phone was blowing up. I had so much stuff and I was just mean to him. And he literally was like, Jay, like, why are you being so mean to me? And I realized I was, and I was like, I had to like take a second and like take a breath. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, yeah. I'm really, really sorry. And so I notice when I'm super stressed out, I am not nice. Like, and I feel so bad.
Same. But I love that you shared that because I think what, like, I always want people to take away from this is like, yeah, we do not have it together.
Yep.
And I've been in that situation many of times. And I love that you said like you had to take a beat because I think that is really helpful is like, instead of reacting and going off of what you feel in that moment, to just pause and pray, mm-hmm. like literally just be like, God, help me to love him right now. I don't feel like it. Show me how to. Yep. And like truly just that moment and that prayer, I promise you will just change the direction of that conversation. And
well, and even saying sorry. I mean,
yes.
Saying sorry is for some reason when you get married, it's like so it just disappears from your vocabulary and you're like,
sorry, I don't know that word.
Where did it go?
Yeah.
It's so crazy how, again, like I said, the enemy just wants you to look at your spouse like he's your enemy. And so maintaining that word, I'm sorry, or will you forgive me? I have found is so important. Like when I don't want to say it again, I have to humble myself and be like, okay, like I hurt you, whether I like to admit it or not that I hurt you, or I cut you with my words, I am sorry. Like clearly I see you, you've told me I've hurt you. So yeah. I am sorry. And asking for forgiveness is super important.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
So good.
Okay, the last thing I want to talk about really fast, I thought about this too, and then we can close out, is purity.
Purity. We need another
dun, 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 dun. Dun. Okay, so we want to talk about this because obviously sex is a very big thing when you get married. And obviously this could be an entire episode.
Oh, it totally could.
It really could. And again, we're not experts, but you know, we're now married. We're doing a little thingy-thing.
Oh my gosh. Mom, if you're watching this, just I'm sorry.
Tune it
ignore
out.
Ignore Janine. She's on hinge today.
This is what Caleb and I say. We call it the thingy-thing. Oh, we don't know what else to call it on the podcast.
No, that's
we would say, guys, we're doing the thingy-thing. Okay. So obviously when you're single, you're hopefully not doing the thingy-thing. And if you are, there's grace, but we want to encourage you to not do that because we truly believe that there's a better way and that it is meant for marriage. But even in purity, this is something too that I think you've got to get a grasp of when you're single. Like lustful thoughts, masturbation, pornography, looking at men as even objects. Like I think there's such a double standard where it's like only guys do that. And like, no, we totally can look at men as objects or things that we could get aroused by. And so what I'm here to say is having the temptation is not necessarily wrong, but acting upon it is. And so that's also something that you really want to get a hold of in singleness is the lustful thoughts or the temptations or the things that you're hiding in the darkness. Because again, when you get married, as we said, a lot of things get exposed. Now, thankfully for me, you know, I'm going to be vulnerable. You guys know this. I had a struggle with pornography when I was younger, and so did Caleb. And for a very, very, very long time, we have found freedom from it and healing. And so when we were married, that wasn't a problem. But that doesn't mean that other things may not necessarily be a problem. And so just purity is something you really want to try to get a grasp of and a hold of when you are single.
Yeah, I would say single, dating, engaged, married, I don't care where forever. You are. Purity is... And it's so much more than just sex. Like it really is. It's a frame of thinking. It's a heart posture. It's a calling as a Christian. And so purity is such an important thing to be pursuing and to be putting on daily, like renewing your mind, purifying your mind, asking God, praying to God, like, purify my heart, cleanse me of anything that is not godly, of anything that is not of you. And I pray that every single day. Psalm 139, search my heart, remove any offensive way in me. Like, there's so many different psalms that you can pray to ask for God to purify you. But then, like, creating those disciplines and the intentionality of, like, bringing in accountability and saying, hey, I'm struggling with this. I'm confessing it to you. Like, if you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with reading, you know, steamy romance novels and having fantasies, if you're struggling with the music that you're listening to and having, you know, certain thoughts or dreams or whatever it may be, like, if you're struggling in that area, like, I really encourage you to find the godliest person that you know, confess to them, ask them to pray over you, and ask them to hold you accountable and, like, create some disciplines around you. Like, don't say that you're fighting for purity if, like, you're carrying around your phone every single day. And
okay,
the
JP.
Way I know he says that all the time, but it's like true, the though. Way that you're accessing the thing that you're saying you're struggling with is, like, on you all the time. And so be intentional with, like, where you're turn, like, know your triggers, create disciplines, have accountability. And you almost, like, you have to be intense about it in order to find that freedom. But then I would say, like, purity doesn't just, it's not just a singleness and dating thing. Like, you got to pursue it in marriage. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what I watch, what I listen to, you know, who I follow on social media, who I'm spending my time with, like, all of those things really, really matter. And having accountability that, like I mentioned earlier, I'm confessing at the thought level of, like, hey, Janine, today I had this, like, lustful thought. Like she said, you can't always control the temptation, but you can control what you do from there. And so, hey, Janine, I had this lustful thought today. I need you to pray for me, and I need you to remind me of the truth and hold me accountable. Like, check in with me later. Did you act on it? Did you do anything about it? And that is so helpful when you're trying to pursue purity, because sin thrives in secrecy. And so as long as you're keeping it in the dark, as long as it's a secret, it's going to be really hard to break it. But if you confess it and you tell other people about it, it has a much better chance of you being able to get free from it and to continue to, like, walk in the light.
So good. And you guys, last thing too, is you train for a healthy marriage in singleness. And so purity plays into this, because truly sexuality, all these desires, all these things that you're thinking really also can bless your relationship or ruin your relationship. The enemy has taken sex and twisted it and ruined it to absolutely destroy marriages when God meant it to be this sacred, beautiful thing between a man and a woman in a marriage. And so it's something that you really want to be mindful of, that you want to bless your partner. And I'm not saying if you've been promiscuous or if you've had a certain past that you can't be redeemed. That's not what I'm saying. I completely believe that God can redeem anything. But when you're married, you want to now train for thinking about one person, and that's your spouse. Because I think our society is like, train for variety, train for, you know, looking at multiple men. It doesn't matter if you watch pornography, you know, please yourself, do whatever you want. And like, we want to be women of God that it's like, no, I have eyes only for my husband. Only my husband can do that for me. And like, you really just look at your one man for the rest of your life. And that is your standard of amazing and beauty and all the certain things. And so just knowing that society is going to tell you that it's liberating for you to be with multiple people, or that it doesn't matter if you want to masturbate because you're learning your body. Like, there's so many different weird, bad sayings that I'm like, that's not what God thinks. And so
it's lies.
It's lies. Bless your marriage now by getting a hold of this. Mm-hmm. We're not here to condemn you. We're not here to shame you. We've not been perfect either, but we are now on the other side of saying, bless your marriage while you can in singleness.
That's so good.
Anything else to add to that?
No, I said this the other day, or I said this on my podcast the other day, but I think it applies to what, you know, what all we've been talking about. But you are going to be able to love your spouse the best when you love God the most. Mm-hmm. When you make God the biggest priority of your life, when you make God's word the foundation of your life, when you study it, when you meditate it, and then you choose to obey it. And so you can't just go off of like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to still love God and do whatever I want, because that's not being a Christian. And so if you choose to follow Jesus, like, there are sacrifices. sacrifices. There are things that you die to. There are things that you surrender. And what follows is peace, true freedom, true joy. Like I would say pursuing purity has been the greatest, truly one of the greatest gifts of my life, because what it has brought, and I've not also been perfect. And so in the seasons where I didn't pursue it, it brought confusion and shame. But in the seasons of pursuing it, like it has brought blessing, it has brought purpose, it has brought confidence and joy and freedom and so much more. And so God is not trying to withhold from you. He is trying to give you his very best, and following and pursuing purity and his word, like all the promises in his word, all the callings in his word is for your best. Like he's a good God who gives good gifts to his children. And so pursuing the things that he calls us to is the best decisions that we could make.
Amen. God's way is the best way, truly. Okay. Well, that was fun.
We did it.
Oh my gosh, it's so crazy. I can't believe like you've been married a year and a half now.
I know, it's really wild. And we just get to keep learning and growing. I feel like we get to learn from each other, learn from other people. It's great.
It's also so fun, you guys, that like Caleb and Grant are also,
they're obsessed with each other.
They're like, literally the other day, Caleb was like, I miss Grant. And he's like, I'm going to text Grant. And then Grant literally texted him like in the next hour and was like, miss you, bro.
Oh my gosh.
Like, oh, it's so cute.
No, they for sure have a bromance. And we've prayed for that.
I literally
was like, I pray that my husband loves Janine's husband and not just like has to put up with him.
Yeah.
But like genuinely wants to be around him and loves him. And that's a gift because that doesn't always happen.
It does not. Let me tell you.
And it has been such a gift. They genuinely love each other. And I feel like we've seen our spouses grow. We've seen each other grow. And it's been just like the coolest thing ever. Like I remember telling Caleb at your book launch party, I was like, I've seen you just become such a like rock for Janine and just be so steady and strong and sure of yourself. You know who you are. You know your identity in Christ. And it's been just so cool to see like both of you grow. Y'all seeing us grow.
Oh my gosh,
it's the best.
Marriage is fun, you guys.
It is the best. I hope you hear that. Like marriage is truly a gift. It's
refining, but it's so fun. When you marry the right person, it should be so freaking fun, an adventure. And I love it. Like I really, I'm like, well, I should have done this sooner.
I know.
But God was like, no, you're not ready yet.
I got to work some things out.
We got to get rid of some people first.
Anyways.
I'm dead. Well, I hope this episode blesses you guys. Definitely share it if it does. Tag us both. I want to see what you guys think about this episode. Now go check out Maddie's episode where we talk all about friendship.
Friendship and loneliness.
Yes, friendship and loneliness. And then also I just want to list a couple books that have blessed me and also probably bless you. So when I was engaged, Maddie actually gave me the book A Fruitful Wife. That's amazing. I'll have it linked down below. I would also say Single, Dating, Engaged, Married by Ben Stewart. Maddie's book, The Love Everybody Wants. What other books would you say bless you?
The Sacred Search, Gary Thomas.
Oh my gosh, the best.
I mean, Becoming Happy and Healthy, of course.
Becoming Happy and Healthy.
I mean, yeah, I think that those are all really good resources. And again, yeah, like books are so helpful. Study up, meditate, and know that then they're going to be put to test when you get married.
Oh, yeah, you can fill it in all you want, but until you apply it, it's very different. Okay, you guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Go follow Maddie, and thanks for coming on. I had so much fun.
This was great.
This is literally so much more fun when you're just like with your best friend on a couch.
Yeah. I'm like, it's like we're actually hanging out. We're each other's therapy.
Absolutely. Okay, you guys, I'll see you next Tuesday for another episode of Happy and Healthy, but until then, stay happy and healthy. Bye, guys.
Bye.